1000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 19th of November, Anno Domini 2006. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it is 8 minutes after the hour, and we have news, views, stuff you can use. Give us a call. You know the numbers. We will be here for two solid hours.
We don't know the numbers. What are they, Nick?
Didn't he do the numbers at the beginning?
Yes.
All right.
Repetition is key.
If you're in the 585 area code, the number is 222-1180. If you're long distance, it's the 800-295-1180. And you Verizon Wireless customers, it's star 1180. Happy now?
He looks happy.
All right. We'll start with the news. This week, of course, it was all about the Sony PlayStation 3 and the complete chaos that resulted.
Well, I'm wondering what's going to happen today because the Wii comes out today.
The Wii comes out today, but we'll see what that does. But the PlayStation 3 went on sale Friday. Thousands of people lined up at stores that only had a dozen or so PS3s. One of my favorite stories: these guys were waiting in line. A truck rolls up. 50 homeless people get out of the back.
Yeah.
Some guy paid them to stand in line with tickets and get PS3s for him.
Nice. Ah!
He came back later. A truck rolled up after the truck left, came back with food for them. And apparently they all bought PS3s. There were an amazing number of fights. I can't even list the number of places that there were fights. People were mugged for their PS3s as they came out of the store.
Cars were going by with BB guns, I heard.
Yes, there was at least one actual shooting, you know, with a real gun.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
How absolutely ridiculous is it that people were breaking through glass front, you know, the doors, hurting each other, mowing down old ladies?
Yeah.
Just to sell them on eBay for, what is it, $5,000 they're up to right now?
Oh, no. Well, $5,000 is not atypical. I actually saw one on eBay for $30,000.
Well, I wonder, will
it
sell?
Sold.
And it's sold.
Wait a couple of weeks and you can buy it for list price.
Well, yeah. The thing of it is between now and Christmas, PlayStation 3, they'll have another 700,000 units ready for sale.
Right.
What's
the big deal? Why would somebody spend $30,000 on one of those games?
They're idiots. Too much money.
Too much money, not enough brain.
Yeah.
The brain-money ratio is all wrong.
And
as the owner of a retail store, thank God for them.
Yeah. There were at least two instances of street theater. Dan Cole was mentioning this earlier. There were at least two instances where people bought one, took it outside where all the people were standing online, threw it on the ground, and smashed it with a sledgehammer. And then videoed the reactions. I haven't seen them online yet.
Are you
yet,
serious?
Yeah. That's my favorite.
Well, the other thing that was really upsetting me is you see the folks in sitting there. They were camping out a couple days ahead of time.
Right.
And they'd honestly go up there and say, yeah, I'm going to go in. I'm going to get three of them. I'm keeping one. I'm going to sell two on eBay. I'm sorry. If I was a store manager...
One per customer.
Well, that's what it was. One per customer.
Right. You know, well,
and
no,
a lot of stores had tickets. You had to have a ticket to even get a chance to buy one.
I've got a golden ticket.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: a lot of places there were riots and problems and shootings.
Oh,
like
fish
I said,
fights.
They shut down.
Yeah.
Right.
They've still got their PS3s. They're just not telling anybody.
Right.
Because they don't want to start another riot.
Well, it starts to get dangerous at an electronics store, and it's just like, okay, how much is this really worth to have? I mean, you know,
well,
these people are hurting each other to get in.
I'll tell you what, if I were working in an electronics store and there was shooting, I would say to my boss, no, not enough money, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, right.
Well, you remember when we did the all-night remote at the Windows XP rollout?
No, it was Windows.
Was it Windows 98?
98.
That was a long time ago.
Yes, it was long
and,
time ago.
And we went on sale at midnight. And
Egghead.
And we were making bacon and eggs for everybody.
Yep.
Egghead.
And we were asking all the people, so you're going to go home and install it? And, you know, 90% of them said no.
Yeah, right. I'll wait till the 4th of July weekend when I've got time. Then why are you here at midnight when you have to work tomorrow. Yeah. Because I wanted to be, you know, wanted to get it tonight. Okay, fine.
Whatever.
It's all about getting it first. A lot of these people don't care. They're not going to play the games. They just want to get it and sell it on eBay.
Now, on the other hand, the thing about the PS3 is it could last 10 years.
Right.
You know, it's that far advanced. It could put Sony way toward meeting its goal to stay on top of the $30 billion gaming market. It will also go a long way toward making the Blu-ray the standard for next generation DVDs.
Well, the one question I have is, all right, you got the PlayStation 3?
Yeah.
How many games are there out there to play that are specifically for PlayStation 3? I know there's
very
plenty
few.
Of them for
very
PlayStation 2.
And there's going to be a whole bunch of people who are going to be a little porked off because a lot of the older games don't work.
Well, and we should, I know it was later on your list, but we should mention that Sony is losing, what, $300 on every box they
yeah,
sell?
Yeah, that's actually the next news item. So we'll talk about that at the next break.
All right.
Yeah, they're actually losing money on every sale. We'll talk about that at the next break. In the meantime, let's go to the phones. We have Ron from Rochester, New York on the line. Welcome, Ron. What's your question? Ron, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okey-doke.
Yeah, a lot of noise going on here. I am running Windows XP Home. I'm also running a LexSmart printer and scanner, 8485.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some way that I can activate the print screen key so it works on command?
It does work. It just doesn't print the screen anymore. For the last, what, 5 or 6 years, it takes a picture of the screen, puts it in your paste buffer. So then you open MS Paint and do a paste, and you'll have a picture of your screen.
Or Word or whatever you want to paste it in.
Which you can then print.
I'm trying to look for it, but I believe...
Yeah, we've had it on our list. Let me see
there
if I can
is
find
a
it.
Utility. If you go to PCWorld.com... which I'm trying to get to.
I think we already have it on our list. I'll look there, too.
And there was utility that you could install.
That will feed it right to the printer.
Okay, because, you know, when I hit it now, nothing happened.
Right.
Well, actually,
well,
something does happen.
Something
it
does
goes
happen.
Into the. Yeah. It goes onto the clipboard.
Well, so I downloaded a printkey.com program, and what it did, it messed up my printer completely. I don't know how, but it was working fine before. And
PrintKey 2000 is the
command.
One that PC World was that PC World has listed, and we have linked on our link list. Yeah. So the way Microsoft intends you to do it is when you hit the print screen key, it takes a picture of your screen. You open MS Paint or Word or any program, paste that picture in, and then print that file.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get text. You know, not so much a picture.
You'll never get text. You will always only get a picture.
Yeah, you will always get a picture. That's all it
That's
can
what
do.
Print screen does.
Yeah, you'll never...
It never does text.
Oh.
It only does
it's
pictures.
It's not a scanner.
It will
Can't
be a picture
OCR.
Of the text.
Yeah.
But okay. It will be a picture.
Okay.
Theoretically, you could send that through an OCR program and turn it into text, but...
Yeah, it's a lot more work for...
It'd be faster to retype whatever the screen says.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Now, if you're on a web page or something like that where there is text, you just select the text, drag through the text, and copy and paste.
All right. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Sure. That's one of the interesting things that I've always noticed about Windows, and in fact, every operating system does it. There are some operations that are hidden.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I've put this on the clipboard. There's no indicator of that.
Yeah.
It's not like the cursor changes to have a little clipboard next to it.
There's no icon for the clipboard or some glowing or flashing
of that
particular icon.
Some programs have a show clipboard window that will show you the contents of the clipboard.
Right. But, you know, for an operating system, and this is true of every... The Mac doesn't do it. Linux doesn't doesn't do
on
it.
On the other side of the coin, what should it do? Should it beep every time you put something on the clipboard?
No, but there should be. Well, for example, I have this bar. There's a button bar on every operating system, and there should be a clipboard icon there that maybe flashes once when something goes to it, so you know that what you just did something.
There's content there.
Yeah.
Usually, a lot of them will warn you if you're going to exit out of a program. There's something in the clipboard.
Not if it's small.
There's been a lot of times where I've been cutting and pasting between documents, and so I use the Control-C, Control-V to copy-paste.
There is a meaningless...
Oh, thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Oh, please, the man had his hands... He was straitjacketed in his coat there.
So I've been doing the Command C, Command V, and I'll have my
all
keys on the wrong finger.
All we ask him to do is push buttons, and apparently he's having trouble with that today. Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And now he walked away from the mic. Yeah. So I'll be doing copy and paste between documents with Control C, Control V, and I'll miss the wrong finger. So I'll do a copy when I meant to paste, and then I'll lose what was in the copy buffer.
Yep.
So there's actually a program on the Mac, probably similar ones for Windows, a multi-clip. So you can have multiple clipboards.
Yes, but again, they don't tell you you've done anything. Right. You just have to.
You have to know that when you hit copy, it's on the clipboard.
When you have somebody like Ron who had no idea that Print Screen didn't print anything anymore,
right.
At least if he'd had that icon and it flashed, he'd get someone to go, oh, wait, what was that all about? It's on my clipboard.
Or if they'd have changed the name of the key 20 years ago when it stopped printing the screen.
Yeah, right.
and make it say, copy the screen.
right, because that was originally on old teletype machines.
Right, fire the text on the screen on your command line terminal straight to your printer.
Right.
And a lot of that was assumed what printer you had. You know, the line printer was the only type of printer there was, so it was very easy to do.
Right. And it was only text on the screen, so you hit that print screen button, you get 24 lines of text, and you were done.
So now basically what I've read into this over the years, because the same question comes up, the basic question is what printer? Most people have more than one printer on their computer these days.
Right.
So if you hit print screen, what printer should it print to?
Right.
So that's why they've changed it to take a picture, and then you can edit the picture and only get the specific piece of the screen you want.
Right. Well,
on the Mac, there's a region
command. Print screen and control print screen. One copies the current window. Yep. The other copies your entire desktop.
Right. On the Mac, it's a different command key now. Command-Shift-3 used to be print screen.
Right.
I'm sorry, no. Command-Shift-3 was always copy the screen to the clipboard. Command-Shift-4 was print screen. So now Command-Shift-4 lets you take a picture of a region. So it'll do the current window. It will do whatever little bit you drag. And it's commonly used when you're writing manuals and you want to refer to, here's a picture of something. What does this mean? Posting on bulletin boards too. What does this error message mean?
Right. And I see that we get that a lot. And on Linux, I've got a little program that'll sit up in my banner bar across the top, and it's a little camera. You click it, and bang, you're taking a picture of the screen.
Speaking of error messages,
oh, here we go.
It's been a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. You know, people have called up with an error message. Your startup disk is almost full. You should delete some files and make room. And they call,
I wonder what that error message means. I better call somebody.
Right, they call us up and ask us what the error message means and what they should do about it. And
when you tell them, it looks like your startup disk is full, you should clear off some files and make room.
They get mad at me.
Yeah.
Well, the usual question is, what file should I clear? I have no idea. Whatever file you want to delete.
Right.
Whatever file you don't want anymore. I don't want to delete any of them. Okay, we can sell you a bigger hard drive.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, nowadays, I think it becomes almost mandatory, depending on what, if you're doing a lot of pictures and a lot of this and that and the other thing, to have some separate drive for those things. Mm-hmm. Because once you fill up your system volume, whether that's the C drive on a Windows machine or the boot volume on a Mac or the slash directory under Linux, once you fill that up, you're in some trouble.
Right. And it's especially hard on laptops, which typically have smaller hard drives.
Exactly.
On desktops, you're looking at 160 gig minimum these days.
Now, I just ordered I just ordered my LaCie from you.
Right.
It's an external drive. I got the
320.
320 that actually plugs into the network itself. It doesn't even plug into a computer. I will plug it into my router. And it will appear as a drive on the network.
A shared drive.
And I can put all my pictures there. That means I can, when any of us take pictures, my wife, my daughter, or I take pictures, I can copy them all to folders on that drive. Any one of us wants to see them, there they are. We just have to open it up and look at them. Yet they're not taking any space on any of our drives. There's no point at which my machine will
and
be off.
And you don't
off,
have
whatever.
To remember whose drive that picture is on.
Exactly. It'll be much better. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, I don't know what this button does, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, at 21 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
Here is a meaningless announcement about nothing.
That would be us. Is this how you starting to get back at me? Is that what this is about?
Welcome it hasn't back. Even started yet, my friend.
Ooh.
Welcome back to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 26 minutes after the hour, I can just hear that clock ticking in the back of my head. Tick, 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 tick. As Steve spilled the beans earlier, Sony is losing big money on their PS3 hardware. They're taking a big look. What happened to
what
vibrate?
Happened to vibrate on your
cheese
brand new phone?
Cheese and crackers.
It is vibrating.
But it's chirping, too.
Excuse us while Dave takes a phone call in the middle of the show. Sony is taking a big loss on... she should know better than to call. Or perhaps she thought you knew how to work your phone.
Probably.
Sony's taking...
I haven't told her. I haven't figured it totally out yet.
Lori, please, don't call him. He has no idea what he's doing. Sony is taking a big loss on every PlayStation 3 console it sells. The big thing is you're essentially getting supercomputing performance at the price of a cheap PC. This is an amazing piece of hardware. Console makers often sell the hardware to loss, you know, hoping to profit from the games. You know, you lose money on every, it's like, you know, give away the razor, sell the blades. But Sony's loss on every PlayStation would be unusually deep. The combined materials and manufacturing costs for each device is about $806 for the 20 gigabyte model. Which excludes the price of the controller, the cables, and the packaging. With a suggested retail price of $499, Sony's taking a loss of at least $300 on every console it sells. The differential for the 60-gig model is a little less. The cost, the amount they lose is about $250. That's pretty amazing. That's just an astonishing amount of money. Most of the cost comes from the PlayStation 3's console processing power.
Well, plus they just lost, what, $300 million on their battery recall?
Yeah.
All the batteries that are getting recalled from Dell and Apple and HP are Sony-made.
They're all Sony batteries, yeah, absolutely. So we'll see what that leads to. But the whole idea is it's great news for customers. They're getting an amazing machine for not a lot of money. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Glenn Lamberts is in to give us news and weather and sports and all the important and interesting stuff that you all listen to this station for, all the good, important, late-breaking, hard-hitting news. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, oh, I can see that twinkle in your eye, Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It is 28 minutes after the hour. And to make Rob happy, I will say that the current temperature is 35 degrees. He loves to hear me say that. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that's Sound Bites. On 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you are listening at 34 minutes after the hour to Sound Bites. We'll be back to the phones in just 1 minute, but you should know that MySpace is being sued for copyright violation. Universal Music Group, the Universal Studios, has sued MySpace. Late on Friday night, claiming that the social networking site is infringing on the copyrights of thousands of songs and videos. Universal claims MySpace has looked the other way as users unlawfully upload copyright music videos. Universal also accuses MySpace of aiding copyright infringement by reformatting those clips so that the users can transfer them to friends or post them to other sites. MySpace has made infringement free and easy, Universal says. MySpace has turned MySpace video into a vast virtual warehouse for pirated copies of music videos and songs. Interestingly, Universal's announcement came only hours after MySpace had launched a new copyright protection tool. MySpace has been moving to guard against copyright violations. They licensed fingerprint technology from a company called Gracenote to prevent unauthorized music from landing on their site.
That's the same company that gives you the tracked names of CDs when you rip them yourself.
Exactly. This filtering system, which again launched on Friday, is designed to automate the removal of unauthorized works from the site once they've been flagged. Apparently, this wasn't enough to satisfy Universal.
They want more.
Yeah. Well, allowing users to post clips unchecked has let some users lift clips from TV shows, movies, music videos without any permission. Google, of course, recently acquired YouTube and set aside $200 million in stock to cover possible legal fees over copyright. So we'll see what that goes as far as that's concerned. But it's pretty clear that the days of rampantly stealing music from people and videos is over.
Yeah, it's not much music anymore. It's mostly now video TV shows.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you can go to legitimate places and see TV shows. You want to see, you know, most shows have them all posted online anyway. Why would I go to YouTube to get them?
What is it, live TV link?
Well, most of the networks will link to their own video site, so you can watch the network shows. CBS has their inner tube, and then a lot of shows are available on iTunes.
Yeah, I've seen there was one.
In fact, we were just talking about this with someone. There's been several TV shows that a failed pilot was shot and not bought by anyone will show up on iTunes. Series that were canceled, they'll finish airing the episodes on iTunes.
Yep.
So it's a new outlet.
Well,
for,
Jericho, for example, all the episodes are available at the website of the
company
station,
that makes
the
them.
Company
yeah.
makes them. And why would you bother to see a lower quality version on MySpace when you can see the real thing at the site? I mean, what?
Nah. Well, I was discovering because I had my VCR evidently over the summer months taping when
VCR
for some programs. Well, I got a DVR now, but I happened to discover this one program.
Is it a
evidently
Betamax DVR?
It was just on during the summer months. It was called Kyle XY. And it was only on during the summer.
And the summer replacement series, yeah.
Yeah, you can go online, though. And I could download all the episodes, because there was like 10 of them.
Yep.
Download them and watch them for $1 a piece or $2.
Yeah, most of the networks had at least one new show during the summer while everyone else was in repeats.
Right. So, yeah, it's pretty neat. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Brian from Honey Eye Falls. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I've been working on a couple of laptops here, trying to upgrade some memory. Two different Dells, a Latitude and an Inspiron, or however you say it. And they both call for PC100 SODIMMs. What will happen if I put, how will they behave if I put a PC133?
They probably won't boot.
Well, no, it'll slow down to 100. You can put faster RAM in, and it doesn't
On some of them, they'll sit there, especially on laptops. They're finicky enough. I've had it to where I tried to shove faster memory in, especially in some of the different units. It'll stop them from booting. The easiest way to do is try putting it in and see.
Yeah.
Right.
See,
it won't do any physical damage to the machine.
No,
most it won't boot.
And the problem is companies aren't making that older RAM anymore, and what you can find is getting more expensive.
Yeah, you're going to pay more for the older memory.
It is actually more expensive. The reason I asked you is because I bought some on eBay
from a
reputable seller that's like a store, like an eBay store.
Sure.
And I think they just sent me the wrong one. The package is marked correctly for a PC 100. That's exactly how it behaves, though, in both laptops. And the reason I expected it was because I had already tried a 133, and that's exactly how it behaved. It tries to boot, and it cycles over and over.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. The other thing we've seen occasionally is you'll get a 133 chip that they just stuck a 100 sticker on the front of it because no one makes 100s anymore.
Right. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Lind, and me, Nick Francesco. Each and every one of you on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Rob's rocking on out there. I'm just impressed and delighted to watch him kind of disappear into his rock persona. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you are listening to Sound Bites at 44 minutes after the hour. We've got folks on the phone, but first we should tell you Google has hired the folks who started iRose. iRose is an online spreadsheet company. Now, Google already has Google Spreadsheets, but they have hired the folks who started iRose, and they'll work in Google's Tel Aviv and Haifa Research and Development Centers because iRose is from Israel. In June, Google introduced Google Spreadsheets, which creates and shares spreadsheets and documents online where you don't need to use a spreadsheet program like Excel on your own machine. But they do this. Now, the big difference really between iRose and Google Spreadsheet, iRose has a couple of things that Google doesn't have, most particularly charting. There's no charting under Google Spreadsheets, but there is under iRose. And now they've hired the iRose guys. I wonder what they'll be working on first. For those of you who are using iRose, back up your iRose data, because when iRose closes, all the data from the user spreadsheets will be deleted. Now, the iRose website will tell you how you can transport your spreadsheets to Google Spreadsheets, but you won't be able to transfer the charts. Because, like I said, they're not supported. But what we're finding nowadays is a lot of people, you can do word processing and spreadsheets and all kinds of collaboration stuff online without ever having any of that software on your own machine. So we're finding a lot of people who don't need all the power of Office are now using Google Documents, Google Spreadsheets. There are a bunch of others that do the same thing. To do all that stuff, and it really kind of astonishes me. So I went and tried it, and it works. It's all, you know, for most of the stuff we do, I could do it on. For example, all the news items that I do, I could throw those up on Google Documents, do them right there, and just tell you guys there they are. Now you're on your own. Read them online. Do whatever you want with them. It's a really interesting thing, and I'm looking forward to using it more. It should be. The big thing is, of course, you got to have a Google, a Gmail account to do it. But, you know, how hard is it to get a Gmail account? A, they're free, and B, everybody on Earth has 100 invitations, so that should work. We're back to the phones. Our next caller is Jeff from Webster, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
BG, how are you?
Okay. Hey, what is the absolute best, most comprehensive book that you've ever read about Windows?
Oh, how do you define best?
yeah, define best. Are you looking for a beginner book?
Well, I consider myself to be computer illiterate. I mean, I have one, but, you know, there's a lot of things that I learn every week when I listen to your show that, you know, stuff that...
Oh, then you are a beginner.
Yeah.
What what sort of stuff are you looking to learn?
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. There's 100 books out there, and each of them has a focus.
Okay.
So if what you're looking, you know, you could be looking to learn how do 100. I make the best use of the interface?
There's 340,126 books at Amazon on Windows.
Yeah, but that's my point. You know, what is it you're looking to do? You're going to find a different book for each thing.
Okay.
If what you're looking for is general knowledge about Windows, let me suggest you not use a book at all.
Okay.
Let me suggest you go to the local users group.
Okay.
We have a local users group here in town. It's called the Rochester Computer Society.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve's going to tell me the URL in a moment.
It's rcs.org. No, that's not it. Rochester Computer Society. I'll find it.
RCSI.
Inc.org. Yeah, rcsi.org.
Right.
RCSI.org.
Right.
Okay.
And they meet every month, and it's pretty easy. You can click the Join Us link across the top of the page, and that will tell you how to join and where the meetings are and everything else. The meetings are generally held once a month.
Second Tuesday of the month, I think their meeting is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The Apple group is the second Wednesday of the month.
Yep. Okay. They haven't put up the December meeting yet, but for example, the November meeting was gifts and gadgets for the holidays. That's the sort of thing that they do. So what happens is you go there every month. It's the second Tuesday of every month except August, 6:30 to 9 o'clock. And what happens is... you go, they have a presentation of some sort, but more importantly, you get to meet people, you get to talk to them.
They used to
They're
have
all
four.
Willing
right.
to
the
help
first,
you.
The first half hour is generally what they call the helps half hour. You know, the Apple group calls it Q&A. Ask questions, get answers, and just talk to other people.
Uh-huh.
Then they used to break it out after the meeting into user groups. So you could have user groups,
well,
say, like...
That's at the bar later.
Yeah. Paradox. No, the PC... When I used to run PC Cube, we used to have the Paradox group and then the new users group.
Yeah. Well, and as far as books, the Dummies series is very popular, very easy to read. And for novice users, it's a great book to start with.
Well, there was another one, too. It's almost... I used to see them at CompUSA, and they were literally a great book that they gave you instruction, but there was also great illustration.
Yeah, that's the visual quick start guide.
Yeah,
those are good, too. We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you at 49 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you are listening to Soundbites. It's 54 minutes after the hour. AMD has announced layoffs, by the way. 4 weeks after they beat Wall Street estimates for financial earnings, AMD is going to lay off 375 workers. They say that'll weed out redundant positions caused by AMD's acquisition of graphics chip maker ATI Technologies. How did
the SEC let that go through? The two biggest companies merge? Who else is left?
I know it. But I got to tell you, that's kind of exciting. AMD and ATI have merged. It means that we'll be able to see one processor with the graphics chip on board, which should make it faster. It's going to be an exciting thing for us. You know that? I think it's going to be pretty neat.
And well, they've always been leapfrogging each other. Yeah. You know, this month AMD's right. card is faster. I just messed up the whole thing. NVIDIA and ATI are the competing graphics card vendors.
Right.
Not AMD. AMD and Intel are chip manufacturer.
Right. But it's still a big to-do. Right.
So does that mean Intel's going to buy ATI?
Yeah.
Well, no, Intel would buy NVIDIA because ATI and AMD, you get the A's together, are together.
And the Intel
and the NVIDIA. There you go. That's how it works. Now you've got it. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Good morning. I had a question regarding Windows Defender, which I believe is spyware protection that Microsoft is offering for free.
Sure.
I currently am running three different spywares already on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
Spyware Doctor, Oedo, and the spyware that comes with Zone Alarm Pro. If I download this Windows Defender spyware for free, anybody there think there'll be an incompatibility problem then because my current three spyware software programs already on my PC?
Well, let's put it this way. How well does Microsoft do in updating their programs with the bugs and features in it right now?
Fine. I mean, as far as...
once a month. So if you want to rely on them to update the definitions and all that on their great spyware program once a month, go for it.
Instead of every day, most antivirus and anti-spyware
it's
programs do.
It's not their primary goal to, business to fight spyware.
Well, plus,
so the updates aren't going to be there as often.
And plus, the other half of that is having too many programs trying to do the same thing can slow your computer down.
Yep.
And they can fight each other. One can think that another one is spyware, not the spyware list.
If you're just going to leave it on your hard drive and run it by hand, that's one thing. But if you're going to let it run in the background, that's something else entirely. I'm so far not a huge fan of Windows Defender. It works fine. It's just that, the whole reason we need these programs is because Microsoft's software is full of holes. And I don't know that I trust the company that makes the buggy software to make the software to fix the buggy software.
Good point.
So I just don't, I'm not a big fan of it. I've played with it a little bit. It certainly does seem to work, but I didn't try it against anything odd or unusual. And as these guys just said, how often is it going to update? How well is it going to update? I don't know.
It's like putting the fox in charge of the chicken coop.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you. That gives me my answer. I know what to do. I'm not gonna.
There you go.
It's mostly intended for novice users who don't know there's other programs, which is one of Microsoft's advantages, I guess.
Yeah, right.
There is no other OS besides Windows. There is no other Office suite besides Office. Yeah. So now there is no other anti-spyware program besides the one that came with Windows.
Right. All right. Our next caller is Dave from Lima, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
I've got a problem with a new computer I bought, a Toshiba Satellite. It's got XP Media Center 2005 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to hook up to a domain, which they misinformed me when I bought it.
It won't.
So I've got an old XP Pro disk that I use in 2002, and I tried to install it, and it won't allow me. I get the blue screen where it says that there's an error and it's shutting down so that it won't harm my computer. And so I'm trying to figure out how can I get XP Pro on here. I mean, I have to
buy a new current version of XP Pro.
Yeah, the real problem, there's two problems. One is Microsoft is reluctant to upgrade XP Media to XP Pro.
Yeah, it's going backwards.
The second thing is, you said this was on a new laptop. There are going to be a lot of drivers for the laptop that are just simply not available in the generic XP version.
Your best bet would be to call whoever made the laptop and see if you can buy the upgrade OS from them.
Right. That's probably your best bet at this point. Or take it back to the company you bought it from and tell them they lied to you and you want to make it right. Right now, we got to take a break, but we'll be back on the other side. Oh, Glenn Lamberts is in. He's going to do wonderful stuff for you guys. He's going to do the news, the weather, the sports, up-to-date information, hard-hitting journalism here at Wham. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, back in just a couple of minutes on the greatest radio station in the known universe, 1180 WHAM.
Thousand-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you are indeed at 5 minutes after the hour listening to Sound Bites. Before we get back to the phones, I'd like to talk a little bit about what goes on at our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about holiday game buying. And of the many consoles that are, well, the three consoles that are available, the PS3, the Xbox 360, and the Wii from Nintendo, W-I-I, apparently pronounced Wii.
Yeah, perfect.
That's why they call it the Wiimote. Get it?
Dan, my partner?
Yeah, sure.
Was supposed to, I don't know, he was going to go over to Sears at 9:30 this morning. They opened at 11
pick
to
up
see
a Wii?
See if he could get one.
I don't know if there's going to be the same frenzy that there's been for the...
I don't think there's going to be, you know, the shooting and everything else. There wasn't,
but the choices were PlayStation 3, Xbox, Wii, chess set, baseball. Wii actually won. 37% of you voted for the Wii, followed by chess set, followed by baseball, followed by PlayStation, followed by Xbox 360. Only 10 people voted for that one. Apparently, everybody's already got what they want. This week's poll is about another exciting news story in the news. AOL has announced a new version of the AOL Instant Messenger, AIM 6.0. New features include the ability to send messages to offline users and to store instant message sessions in a PC as opposed to online at AOL. AOL has also doubled the number of contacts a user can have in his or her buddy list from 500 to 1,000. You can now have 1,000 of your closest friends in your AOL Instant Messenger list. AOL is, of course, involved in a red-hot competition in the consumer instant messaging market with Microsoft, Yahoo, and a couple of others. And, of course, Microsoft and Yahoo recently established a basic level of interoperability between their instant messaging networks. AOL and Microsoft and Yahoo operate the three most popular consumer networks, but AIM users can't communicate with Microsoft and Yahoo users because their network uses proprietary protocols. Now, Windows Live Messenger, which was formerly MSN Messenger, leads with 29% of the users worldwide. AIM is breathing down their necks with 27%, and Yahoo is not that far behind with 21%. AOL's AIM 6.0 requires either Windows XP or Windows 2000. AOL is working with Google to link AIM to the Google Talk IM service. And there's a bunch of those that are out there. So if you're, my question becomes, which instant messaging product are you using? And the choices in alphabetical order: Adium, AIM, a Jabber client, Google Talk, iChat, Talk. It should be Trillion, not Trillium. I screwed that up completely. I should never do this on like 2 hours of sleep. I should always wait until I'm more awake. Windows Live Messenger, Yahoo IM, something else, or absolutely nothing. So far, we have 91 votes in here, and absolutely nothing has over 50% of the vote. 57% of you say absolutely nothing, followed by AIM, then iChat, then Yahoo, then Trillion, then something else, then a Jabber client, blah, 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 blah. Adium, nobody's using Adium, and nobody's using Talk, which is a text-only protocol for Unix machines. Anyway, vote in our poll. That's at soundbites.org. After you vote in our poll, you'll see a little yellow box underneath it. You can click on Give Us Your Opinion. That takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
You sounded like Dirty Harry just then.
Are you feeling ass-nicky punk? Well, are you?
I know it's Do You. Do You feel
You know
a
movie
punk?
That's from?
Dirty Harry.
Mm-mm. That line. That,
oh, no,
that
I do not.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
The only movie I've never seen.
Bueller. Come on.
I've never seen Ferris Bueller's Day
Off. I used
to
watch a movie every time I was home sick Bueller. From school.
Well, you're 11 years old. It's your era.
Yeah,
my era is Animal House.
It's Wind-based.
You want to do any line from Animal House, I got the next 15 pages of dialogue for you.
Or
I don't know Ferris
Superman.
Bueller's Day Off. You happy now?
It's Win Ben Stein's Money with Jimmy Kimmel.
You've Bueller. Never seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
I've never seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Steve.
It's
I've
one
never
of those,
seen
yeah, it's
the,
one of those
I've
classic
never seen
movies.
E.T.
Okay,
you have
so Steve's seen it.
Well, I've never seen E.T. either.
Two out of three.
What kind of like Matthew Broderick anyway?
I like Matthew Broderick. I liked him in Lady Hawk.
Until he married Sarah Jessica Parker because I wanted to. No.
I don't find her interesting at all. But at
well,
any
no,
rate,
in the what was that movie TV series she did about the weird science computer geek kids?
I so don't know her.
Oh, that was her first big show.
All right. Well, look her up. It's
yeah, I'm going to. And it was this really tall guy that could run really fast. It was like teenage superheroes before there were superheroes.
Oh, yeah. It's the one that everybody was always mistaking for the one with Kelly Brock. The
Weird Science.
Weird Science. Yeah. Is weird something.
Kelly LeBrock and Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At any rate, on my website, and I'm very excited about my website, at AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Very good. We have a bunch of things. We just moved to a new server, and so it's much faster, much cleaner. The reviews I haven't worked on yet, but the newsletter works perfectly now. For those of you who've not been getting your newsletters recently, they've started up again. I publish a newsletter 3 times a week. It's got questions and answers, tips and tricks.
Square pegs.
no, it doesn't have square pegs. It's tips and tricks. Questions and answers, rants and raves, website of the week, 3 times a week. I publish that 3 times a week. There's forums on there where we answer computer questions. That's all working way better now, and I'm very excited. Kudos to my friend Gabe, who's actually doing all the hard work. I just stand around and complain that this isn't done yet or that's not done yet, and Gabe does all the work. So check out AskNick.com. It's running on a new server very fast, very clean, very nifty. And then come back to Soundbites. We're going to move that to a new server very shortly as well.
Yeah, we need to.
In fact, that's going on the same server, which our beloved friends at Frontier have allowed us to put in their data
giving
center.
Us the bandwidth.
So it's very fast, very nice. We just have to move Soundbites. Soundbites is the tough one because there's so much there and there's so much that's frankly old code and needs to be updated before it can be moved. But we're going to be moving that to the new site as well, and I'm looking forward to all of that. Once it's there, one of the things that I want to put up is a gallery so that all those great pictures and things that people mm-hmm. put there, we can stick in a gallery instead of sticking in the
yeah,
in the forums,
view them a little easier.
It'll be easier to view and do stuff like that. But anyway, that's what's going on at our website. So join us there and vote in the poll and see what's going on and look forward to the new website. At some point, the Soundbites website will be down for a couple of days while we make that move, because it's going to be a major move, but we're not anywhere near ready for that yet. We'll let you know when we are. In the meantime?
Nope. My turn.
Was it your turn already?
Yeah.
All righty then. We have, if we got time for story time with Uncle Dave. And now, kiddies, sit back, put on your little footy jammies, grab your teddies, and get a nice cup of hot cocoa, settle down
on
the floor.
It's not that kind of show. Don't tell people to grab their teddies.
I meant teddy bears.
Got it.
The little
get your mind out.
Cheese and
gutter.
Crackers.
Talk
you
about
and
the
half our audience
gap.
Are right now in the closet looking for something to wear.
Yeah.
The and most of our listeners are guys, so that's an image I didn't need in my head. And we'll sit back because it's story time with Uncle Dave. It's time for another shop story. I just need to go wash out my ears now. You go ahead.
Really, he put a bad picture in my
cheese
head
and
too.
Crackers.
But anyways, folks, yeah, this week in the shop. You know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I had a number, at least a couple folks come in, and you're getting down to the bare minimum now of stretching that old Windows 98 machine. And what I mean by that is I, like I said, I had a couple folks come in, wanted to do all these upgrades. And like we have said over the years, you know, I mean, you can take a basic machine, and add different things to it to make it go fast. But there's also going to be a limit that you can do so much And then you get to the point, well, where do I want to move the bottleneck? That if I add more memory, it might slow down on this. If I do this, then I do this. And you just start spending and spending and chasing this mouse around this maze and never catching it. We're to the point now, and like I told these two folks, it's better to take the money that you were going to put into upgrading this and doing this, a bigger hard drive and yada, 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 and look at a new PC. Because right now, most of the manufacturers and distributors out there of the PCs are frantic right now because they were really hoping to be able to boast that they were going to have Windows Vista out there so, you know, they could jack the prices up and jack the profits up because Windows Vista is going to need a lot more resources and everything else just to run it. Well, right now, you can take advantage of this because they're offering dual-core machines with a lot of memory and they're throwing in flat panels and everything else through a lot of the manufacturers and still with Windows XP Service Pack 2 on there.
So you don't have to worry about Vista incompatibilities.
Right. So you can get yourself in position because, I hate to say it, but Windows 98 and my beloved system Windows ME is finally dead.
Yeah, if you're looking to spend $200-$400 upgrading an old computer, you can buy a really decent machine for $600.
Yeah,
but you know, be careful at the real low end because there's $300 computers, 512 RAM minimum, 80 gig hard drive minimum, and sometimes you can't find them that small. You want a dedicated video card if you're going to play any type of games on it.
Compare your apples to apples, not apples to oranges.
Yeah, you see the $299 computers for sale in the advertising, and it's 128 RAM, a 20 gig hard drive.
And check the warranty.
Check the warranty, 90-day warranty.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sell the HP brand at Jesse Group because it's a good, well-known brand.
I carry the Acer as far as laptops. But you've got to do your homework, and I'm thinking right now, if you're still running Windows 98 and you're looking to upgrade the systems, do it now because there's some great deals out there, and you're going to put yourself in a position to last them maybe the next 5 years. If that's all you're doing, your typical users, which are emailing, maybe doing some pictures, and letter writing.
What's interesting is that we've seen in the Mac world now, Apple is speeding up a little bit the release of new machines. In the PC world, it's been common every 4 or 5 months, Intel or AMD has a faster chip out. In the Mac world, we usually have 8 to 10 months or a year before something new comes out.
Right.
And now, especially on Apple's laptop line, the MacBook Pro has gone through 4 revisions in 9 months. The MacBook is 3 revisions in 9 months. And so it really annoys the customers. As soon as you buy something, there's a faster one.
So, you know,
I've always told people, wait until I buy. Yeah. Then 6 weeks later, something wonderful and new will come out.
Well, they got to start looking into it right now because, like I say, we can only stretch all those machines so far. And then they're going to be forced to buy, Windows Vista. And that's going to be a bigger nut to swallow because of the price tag, the requirements and everything else. So get in on the XP right now where you can and still get it at a good price, and especially with the holidays right now. The vendors want to sell machines, but they don't have any big oomph, as far as
an operating. Right, Vista's not available.
Yeah, so take advantage of it right now. It's to your advantage.
Exactly. All right, very nice. We're going to go back to the phones. And our next caller is Lynn from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Lynn. What's your question?
There.
Hi.
I'm running Windows XP, and I have Office XP on there as well. Mm-hmm. And I am trying to send emails out of my Microsoft Word program. And anytime I try to do that, it says Word could not load the email envelope. This could be caused by a network connection problem or a problem with your Office installation. Now, I have reinstalled Office on my computer. I've also looked at the Microsoft website. Have not gotten any help there. The strange thing is if I go to File and go to Send To, I can send it to the mail recipient for review, but it puts it in an attachment. And the really important thing for work is that the recipients cannot get attachments, so I need it to be in the body of the email.
Copy and paste.
Pardon?
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah,
hold on.
There's three issues involved.
I tried that.
Couple of different things. First, what you're trying to do is use the send command that's in Word, right?
Correct.
What All email right. program are you using?
I'm using Microsoft Outlook. And what's happening is if I cut and paste, it does not cut and paste the actual, like, pictures and so forth in the body of the email.
Why don't you use Outlook Express, then?
Well, she's got to use what work tells her to use.
Yeah, and the underlying problem is that most email servers won't allow Microsoft Word documents to pass because of the virus
problem.
Well,
but she can't even get them into... Well, it sounds like now work wants you to do this, right?
Yes.
They're insisting she does this, so it's not there. The problem is on her laptop. Laptop?
No, desktop.
Desktop itself, where the command is actually not working. What it sounds like... There is a specific DLL, and I, of course, can't remember the name of it right now, that actually connects Word and Outlook, and it sounds like that DLL is either damaged or missing. What's the error message you get again?
The error message that I get is, let's see, Word.
I just found it. It's
Word, wait, you found it.
Microsoft Knowledge Base article 260623.
There you go.
What's that?
We will post a link to the Microsoft Knowledge Base article that tells you how to fix this problem.
You go to our website, which is soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Click on the links tab. The third link is sites, the list of sites mentioned weekly on the show. And Steve is in the process of putting on that website the link to the answer to your question. So go there and Microsoft will explain it all to you. As they so lovely do in such a lovely way. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now at 222-1180.
Go. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 25 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Back to the phones in a moment. First, you should know that AMD has been slapped with a patent infringement lawsuit from a company called Opti. They make controller chips for PCs and LCD monitors, and they're claiming that AMD violated three of their patents, specifically the predictive snooping technology. That involves transferring data from a PCI bus controller to a PCI master bus. It shortens the delay, so you read data much faster, which makes the machine respond much faster, and the complaint alleges that AMD infringed on these patents, blah, 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 blah. We'll follow this as it goes along, but AMD has not responded because they said they haven't received a copy of the lawsuit yet, so they couldn't comment on it. We'll follow that, let you know what the future holds for that. AMD is a great company, and they seem to be a little beleaguered right now. Our next caller is Joe from Spencerport, New York. Hiya, Joe. What do you know?
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a problem, and you guys will probably give me the answer.
Probably not, but go ahead.
Okay. My old computer went to pot. I took it over to the nearest computing service place, and they put it on the test, and the motherboard and everything was all burned out. So they put a new one together for me. I now have a Titan P4, and it's a 2.93 gigahertz, 256 MB, DVD burner, 40 gigabytes, 90-day warranty. My problem is that it didn't come with any speakers. My old computer had the Polk speakers. I put them on, very little volume. So I went back to the service people there, and I said, hey, look, I'm having no problems. I mean, having a lot of problems with my sound. He said, oh, you need power speakers. So I said, okay, give me a pair. I got a pair. I brought them in and still having extreme problems. Sounds like the voice is in a barrel or in a cave. I can't make any heads or tails.
There are several issues when connecting speakers to the computer, and they touched on one. Some computers need powered speakers that have their own AC cord, and some computers will power the speaker itself. And then the other major issue is on the back of the computer, there's a bunch of little plug holes.
Yeah,
some of them are line out, some of them are headphone out, and some of them, and then there's a line in and a headphone in. So you may have four different connectors. So you may have your speakers plugged into the wrong connector.
You want to make sure it's a light green one.
It is. That's where I am.
All right. Now, have you also checked the volume and balance of the, that it's using the right video card?
In the sound control
driver,
panel.
You mean?
Yeah,
I got my volume control right on the monitor now, and everything is either up or very close to being full volume.
Well, not the volume on the monitor, the volume in Windows.
Uh-huh.
You have to go to Start Control Panel Sound and set the volume of your computer.
Or double-click on the
little if down
you have,
the toolbar.
Right, if you have this, the speaker icon in your system tray, you can open that up, too.
You double-click on that, you get the big thing.
But if it's still sounding muffled...
It may well be that you have the wrong driver. There are going to be generic drivers for specific, you know, for brands of audio cards, but there will be a specific driver for a specific model of that brand of video of audio card.
I see.
So it's very possible that what you've got is the generic driver for the brand and not the specific driver for the model. What you need to do is either through your documentation or calling back these folks, get the correct. In fact, you know what? They caused the problem. You bring it back to them. You got 90 days on this machine. Make them work for their money.
Bring it back to them
and tell them you screwed up. I need the right driver, and I will not walk out this door till it sounds right.
And take the speakers back.
Take the speakers with you and make sure that by the time you're done, everything works properly and you know where everything plugs in. Make them do their job. You shouldn't have to be doing this on your own. You bought a brand new machine. They ought to make it right.
I'm sure with Dave, you know, speaking as a repair person, we've had several, you know, people bring their machines back like this, and it's because they had their speakers plugged into the wrong jack.
Right, but my point is, if he brings everything with him, they can either make it work right, he knows where to plug everything in.
We've had that happen too. Some of my own story time. Yeah, it works fine in our office.
All right, kids, sit back. It's time for a story. It works. Story time with Uncle. No, you're way too young to be an uncle. With Cousin Steve.
Cousin Steve. Everything works fine in our shop, and when they take it home, it quits. So, and then when they bring it back, it still works fine. So we kind of joke with them. Drive halfway to our shop, turn around and go home. So the computer thinks it's at the shop.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I got my own story time with great Uncle Nick. And I am a great uncle. I bought a machine from Dave over the summer. It worked great in the shop. Brought it home, wouldn't boot. Absolutely would not boot. Hung in the middle of the boot sequence. Brought it back to him, worked perfectly. Brought it home, it didn't work. That's when I finally thought, what's different? The only difference was I had a mouse pad with four USB ports on it, and I plugged that into the machine. When it was plugged in, the machine would not boot. When it was not plugged in, the machine would boot fine.
And you don't
so
think
now
of
every
that.
Time I reboot the machine, I unplug that until the machine's booted up, and then I just plug it in again. The system says, oh, you got a USB hub. Let's go.
We've seen keyboards do that. On the Mac, if you hold down your mouse button or the eject key, when you turn the computer on, it ejects a CD that might be in the drive.
Mm-hmm.
So if that button gets stuck down, which we've seen happen, you know, you drop a book or something on it, the computer will eject the CD and then eject the hard drive, and then eject the hard drive, and then eject the hard drive.
Yep.
So it never boots.
Yep. I had a similar problem on my Mac. Something was flashing on the screen the whole time.
Yep.
One of the icons, and I thought, what the heck is this? And I was in the process of plugging in the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And when I plugged in the speakers, I heard bong, 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 bong. And I thought, oh, this is... And I looked over, there was a book resting on one of the keys.
Right. And you filled your keyboard buffer.
And I filled my keyboard buffer. And that's all it was. But it was just... But yes, you definitely... I was very proud that I figured that out and do hardware. And I was very proud I figured that out. It was just that one little device. And that was the difference. You know, you sit back and you... It's a troubleshooting thing. You sit back and you think... What's different?
Well, that's why even, you know, calling us, calling the repair shop you bought the computer from, whatever, a second opinion. You know, they might have thought of something you didn't.
Right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. All right. I think it's time to go back to the phones. How's that for thinking of something nobody else thought of?
We could.
Our next caller is Annie from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Annie. What's your question?
Hi. I want to find out if it is safe to do personal banking in wireless hotspots if I'm using my own computer and I'm using a safe website?
Depends on how you define safe.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things you need to do. With the public Wi-Fi hotspots, the data between your computer and the rest of the internet usually isn't encrypted because you don't have to type a password in to the network. But when you're on a bank website, you want to look for the URL line at the top should say HTTPS for secure.
Yes.
And you should have a little padlock in the screen, depending on what browser
And you should
you're
have
using.
Logged in at some point.
Right.
And hit zone alarm on your machine.
Right. The danger is that some of the banking websites don't send you to the secure page until after you've logged in. So it's possible that someone could sniff your username and password before it actually logs in. They wouldn't be able to see what you're doing afterwards, but they'd have your username and password. So when you're on your bank login screen, you want to make sure you have the padlock icon for secure.
Okay, so then there's no problem at all.
As long as you have that.
We can go that far.
Well, yeah, we can go that far. Let me tell you something.
Somebody could be sitting at the next table looking over your shoulder watching you type in your username and password.
Yeah. I teach a security course at the E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology. And one of the things that I've done to demonstrate how dangerous this is, students bring in their laptops, and I ran a program on my machine that sucked all the data off of their whatever they were sending out over the wireless. And I would show them. And a couple of times I realized I can't show this because I've got somebody's username and password. So anybody who logged on, who got to, for example, a banking site,
right,
and that site already said HTTPS and had the little lock before they typed in their username and password, that was pretty good. I could collect the data, and depending on how good that spot is, it could take me anywhere between from days to years to break the coding. But anybody who just logged into a regular HTTP site and logged in and then got the lock, I had their username and password. I owned them.
And it's not just computers, too. It's ATM security. The guy behind you could be looking over your shoulder watching you type your PIN, or in the car across the street with binoculars watching you type your PIN number.
Right, right.
Got it. So it's the people around me, and to make sure that I am in HTTPS before I log in.
Right.
Okay.
Right, so it's two things. One is the actual wireless security of making sure you are on a secure site before you type in a username and password. Mm-hmm. And that's also true, by the way, of your email. If your email, if you send, and you may need to talk to your provider first. If you send your username and password in clear text to get your email, I would own you.
Got it.
And Annie, one of the other things you want to make sure you do, too, though, is to make sure you're running, like we suggest, with Zone Alarm. Because if you're at home and say you've got a Linksys router, yeah, you're protected behind a firewall.
Mm-hmm.
But once you take that laptop out and you're going out in public, you definitely want to have that Zone Alarm on there so nobody else can break into your machine also.
Is that the free
Yes.
thing?
Yes.
Okay, great.
The other thing, Annie, is if you have Bluetooth on your laptop, turn it off.
Okay.
And your cell phone. There are cell phone viruses now.
Cell phone viruses. Unless you're really needing to make a call, turn off the Bluetooth on your cell phone.
And on the other side of it, Bluetooth and Wi-Fi drain your laptop's battery a lot faster. So if you're not using them in general, turn them off.
Right. So in general, if you have the opportunity, if you have a choice,
go to your
bank.
Go
to your bank. Don't do anything that requires usernames and passwords. If all you're doing is surfing the web and, you know, that's sort of fair, then those wireless hotspots are great. But unless you are certain that you are protected, for example, when I go to one of those, I run a virtual private network back to our IT. So you can't sniff anything I do. But that's specialized software to a specialized vendor. You might want to check with your internet service provider and see if they do that. Most don't. But that's the only way you're guaranteed. Well, that's the way you're most safe, and nobody can guarantee it. I hope we've scared you, Annie. You really shouldn't be just wandering about. This goes for all of you. You shouldn't be wandering about the hotspots doing this stuff.
There is a public VPN service you can subscribe to that allows you to relatively easily create a VPN when you're at a Wi-Fi hotspot. But then you're trusting that company to make sure that it's really secure.
Right, and who are they and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. That's understandable. Our next caller is Dave from Greece, New York. Dave, how can we scare you today?
Okay, how are you today?
Good.
A while ago, I had a problem called Microsoft. I'm running XP. And they told me to install another copy of the XP under the computer.
Mm-hmm.
I did so. When I turned the computer on, it asked me which XP I want to use. I selected the original one, and I can tell the difference because all my icons come up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I selected the new one. Everything works fine. Now I wanted to get rid of the duplicate that I put on there.
Yeah.
when I go to the new, it doesn't have a remove option.
No, what right. you've got to do...
Well, there's two things. You can have it stop asking you and just boot into the second one. And that's you have to edit the environment variable.
What you got to do is, and you got to be careful with this. Now, if you go into the control panel and you click on system,
yeah,
and then there is a tab for advanced,
yeah,
and it's on the startup and recovery.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line in there that you've got to edit and. Under that first tab, once you open up the startup and recovery, there's edit. And it'll open up a notepad, and you'll see the two lines for that.
Okay.
If you're not comfortable doing this, I wouldn't
And let me suggest that unless, and this is for everybody out there, because I know there are people who just follow along and do what we say no matter whether they need it or not. If you're one of those people who suddenly just found themselves in the notepad looking at their boot up program, get out of it.
Yeah.
This is not something the average user should be doing. You should be taking this to a qualified vendor and letting them do it.
Yeah, because you've got to know which line, like you said, well, whether it's the first or second line and how much to delete.
The big trick is that you now have two Windows directories. One's probably called Windows. One might be called Windows XP. You have to know which one is the good one so you can delete the other one. And that's tricky.
Right, so there's more to it than just editing a line. Let it be done by professionals. This is not something you need to muck about with. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. At 40 minutes after the hour, this is Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Sound Bites. Microsoft says Linux stole their intellectual property. Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer has declared his belief that the Linux operating system infringes on Microsoft's intellectual property. Now, as you know, we just had this whole big thing about SCO, which sued Linux basically in general for because they own the patent, the copyright to an old version of Unix. And they've sued Linux, the Linux, the whole Linux community, because there's similar code. They can't
so
tell
the guys
us.
We're the guys from the Santa Cruz operation now.
Exactly.
SCO.
SCO. Basically, that's pretty much a dead thing. They can't say what has been made, what's been stolen. They can't point to any actual code. They're just constantly saying, "Well, but they stole our code." So that's pretty good. Now Microsoft is doing it. Microsoft says they were motivated to sign a deal with SUSE Linux distributor Novell earlier this month because Linux uses our intellectual property, and Microsoft wanted to get the appropriate economic return for our shareholders from our innovation. Remember, on Microsoft, innovation means sue somebody until they die.
Are they part politician? Because it sounded like a lot of nothing.
Well, my favorite part is there's a site called Groklaw at groklaw.org. The woman who runs that, Pamela Jones, I've never met her. I know nothing about her. I'm madly in love with her. She's terrific. She says, Microsoft has misunderstood how the GPL, the licensing for Linux works, and where it stands on the issues of patents. Stop trying to kill or sidestep the GPL. Stop trying to put a patent tax on Linux. Make your money on your own code fair and square. There, I said it.
I liked one of the quotes she had is, well, tell us what we're infringing on and our developers will take it out in a couple hours.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll work around it. Yeah.
which they've done 100 times. Yeah. Oh, you don't like this code? We'll rewrite it. It'll be better, faster, newer, and not infringing. So just tell us what it is.
Whereas Microsoft would take a few months.
Or years or never. But this is the thing. In order for Microsoft to sue, they're going to have to open up their own code. They're going to have to go to a judge and say, here's our code, here's their code, this is where it's identical. Then they're going to have to prove that their code is older than the Linux code. So which it can't be, since the Linux code is 35 or 40 years old, and Microsoft, isn't. So basically, it's an interesting problem. I don't know what think they're doing.
SCO Unix was founded in 78, and their first Unix shipped in 83.
Right.
So that was almost exactly the same time as Windows and Mac were under development.
Exactly. But Linux has been around. Has been around since the 60s.
Yeah.
So if anybody from the Linux world used code from the 60s, which by the way is all still viable today, base their code on that, then it's clearly not a patent infringement. Maybe the patent infringement is by Microsoft.
As you say, it's backwards.
So I don't know where they're going to get, I don't know where this is going to go, but it's going to be, you know, the only people making money nowadays are lawyers anyway, so that's how that works. Our next caller is Dave from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Greatly appreciate everything you do and taking some of your hints, and it's helped in the past.
Great.
For the last 2 weeks, every store you go into tells me that Santa Claus is coming to town.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Yes.
Yeah, it was almost before Halloween this year. They've been skipping Thanksgiving for years, but it's just
you don't make money off of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I figured if he happened before Halloween, they'd give him candy all the time.
Right.
Anyway, looking for a new laptop. I've got a 17-inch screen HP, 7000 Pentium 4. Going to make the change before Vista comes out because I've never liked new Microsoft products. I go back as far as I go back as far as the old Digital Research DOS.
Sure, so, DR DOS.
DR DOS, yeah.
Gary Kildall, great guy.
Anyway, what scares me right now is clock speeds. Looking at Intel, probably looking at the T7200, which is 2 gig clock speed. Going to go 2 gig of memory, big hard drive. Going to do it right for another 17-inch screen. What I don't understand, and there's a cost benefit, is the clock speeds between AMD and Intel. And
yeah, it's the megahertz myth that Apple has been fighting with the Wintel world for years, and now AMD and Intel have caught in it themselves. A slower clock could be a faster processor, right, depending on how the processor is designed.
Right. As AMD, what they do is, even though it's the same, especially on their Plus chip, even though the speeds are rated the same, they add one more task per cycle.
Dave, hold on. We'll come back to you. Don't hang up. We'll come back to you in just a minute. It's 49 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. It's about a guy cuddling with his girlfriend in the snow. That works for me. We're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Jay Benner.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. We're talking, what?
I was going to say, you know, about this whole Santa Claus thing being in the mall. I've come to the conclusion that I think they should just leave him in there all year round because he gets in there earlier and earlier and earlier every year. I mean, seriously, he was in there after Halloween this year.
Yeah.
Well, I was surfing around the radio this weekend and I stumbled on one station, which I won't mention, already playing Christmas music.
There was apparently an article in the paper about them. They've done this every year, and they started so early this year because they got hundreds of letters asking them to.
Yeah. Right.
All Christmas music all the time.
I can't imagine there isn't a satellite station that does that. There should be.
It's insane.
In July.
It's insane. Well, I mean, wasn't the tradition of all that kind of stuff starting the weekend after Thanksgiving or day after?
Yeah, but the retailers only make money nowadays during the Thanksgiving the Christmas season, so they want it to be longer and longer and longer.
That was always the big thing when I was a kid. We went to Midtown Plaza because the day after Thanksgiving, Santa
arrived. Right.
That's right.
Magic Mountain opened up, and bam, you got to go. They don't even
have the mountain down there today. It's just the monorail. At least the monorail's still there.
Right.
Every year when the monorail goes up, I get twinges in my stomach. I get sick to my stomach.
Why?
I was one of Santa's helpers.
Were you really?
On the Magic Mountain. Absolutely.
Come on.
Also, it's Sears. Sibley's, rather. Sibley's was a good deal. Santa had a Barco lounger.
I was going to say, is there a chance that I sat on your lap?
Oh, heck yes. Heck yes. Absolutely.
There's something awfully disturbing about that.
Have you had any sort of repressed trauma from that? Because it could have then definitely been me. Listen, Dave, to get back to your story here, it really comes down to one of two things. First, which processor are you going to get? And secondly, which company do you like better?
Yeah.
I'm a fan of AMD. I like their chips. Mm-hmm. I think they're a little faster. I go with them. Steve is a huge fan of Intel from a week ago.
Fan of Motorola. As we were mentioning off the air, it's not just AMD versus Intel. Each company has their own sub-chips.
Right.
On Intel, you've got the Pentium D, you've got the Core Duo, the Core 2 Duo, the Xeon. You know, so it's different chips.
Different flavors.
And different flavors, mostly marketed at different levels. You've got the home user, the pro user, the workstation. So it's, you know, what can you afford is the best.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm going to go to. But AMD and Intel are similar prices. You know, one of the things, I don't know if you can do it on your site or not, because I go to there regularly, is the fact that if there's some place that has clock time comparisons between the chips, that would
go to PC World.
PC World, Bare Feet, Ars Technica. There are a lot of Tom's Hardware.
But the clock speed is only part of the story.
Yeah.
The other question is how much do you do during each clock tick? As you said, AMD has a deal where they do one extra thing per cycle.
Per cycle.
So that's a little faster. So, but you know, how fast do they transfer memory? How fast do they actually process? Do they parallel process?
It's not a variable.
I got a Volkswagen at 1,000 RPM, and it's faster than a Ferrari at 1,000 RPM.
Right.
Because the Volkswagen's in sixth gear. Yeah. You know?
Right. So it's there's way more to it than clock speed. If you're only going by clock speed, it's like buying a car based on how loud the engine sounds. There's way more to it than that, I'm afraid.
Like we said before, you've got to compare apples to apples.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, though, just to get back to the whole Santa thing for a minute, someday when the phones are broken and we have 2 hours to sit and talk, boy, have I got stories!
We should do story time with you right before Christmas.
We should do. No, well, I don't know if little kids listen to this show.
You know, I knew you looked familiar when I first started working with you.
I've got pictures of my godson. My godson.
I should look back in my photo albums to see if any of those pictures are of you.
Yeah, Mrs. Linton, please get your photo albums out and let's.
Oh, don't tell her
that.
Find some pictures of Rob on Santa's lap.
She can email them to me and I'll print them off and.
And we'll put them on the website.
No, we don't want them on your website, thank you.
I loved doing it. It was mostly fun. The only tough day was the Saturday before Christmas.
Oh, my God.
And I got my friend Bruce Barrett to do that day for me. I wasn't doing that day. But, the only problem was sitting up on that Magic Mountain there and thinking, there's some disgruntled guy who didn't get a pony for Christmas 1 year somewhere on the second level of Midtown with a rifle. That thought would go through my head once.
It's just like the book depository. You're way up on that mountain up there.
That's exactly right. And I'm just, red against the white background. How easy is that for a target? Listen, we're done for another week. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Apparently, we got off on tangents today. But I want to call early next week. Call early and often. You know, you need
to
call early.
Post in the forums.
Post in the forums. We'll answer questions there. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
That's Rob Linton in the other room paying absolutely no attention to what's going on out here. We're done for another week. Join us. Please vote in the poll. Please check what's going on in the forums. We will be back here next week. For all the folks at Wham, it's 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.